The Lord be with you. Let us pray. You call us, O God, to love our neighbor. Harder yet, you call us to love our enemy. Where there is incivility, grant us willingness to listen to others and the wisdom to know when to talk. Where there is a lack of empathy, grant us to see the dignity and worth of others. Guide us, O God, to see ourselves as members of the body of Christ, dependent and connected to others in all that we do. Amen. Our speaker today is Senior Zee Quanbeck. Zee is from New Brighton, Minnesota. He's a double major in philosophy and history.
A reading from Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. We gather here today, Monday, November 7th, living within two realities. Yesterday, we celebrated All Saints Sunday, remembering not only those who have died in the faith before us, but also anticipating our final destiny, to perish in this life, but to be raised to new life in eternal beatitude in communion with God and all the saints. And after an absurd and excruciating past few months, we're all painfully aware of what tomorrow brings. The culmination of a vitriolic and divisive presidential campaign not only raises the prospect of a terrifying future, but brings to the fore the manifold problems confronting our nation. Tomorrow will serve as a forceful and poignant reminder of the brokenness of the institutions and people in our world. Reflecting on the way that we think of Sunday and Tuesday in such utterly opposed terms can show us how we often operate according to a temporal and spatial dualism. So when we anticipate our future beatitude on All Saints Day, we usually think of heaven as a world separated from our present reality by space and time. It exists elsewhere and in the time yet to come, or perhaps even outside of time. By contrast, the world of daily life, the world here and now, is characterized by strife, division, racism, sexism, xenophobia, sin, and sorrow. And moreover, as our first hymn reminds us, characterized by transience, limits, death. Yet today, Monday, as on most days, these two realities can seem utterly different from and unrelated to each other. And from this spatial and temporal dualism, I think we tend to create another form of opposition, that of the opposition, that of the absence or the presence of God. According to this way of thinking, amidst the manifest brokenness of the world, God seems absent. But when we someday dwell in God's abode in heaven, we will completely experience God's presence. The two realities between which we are caught, then, are those of divine presence or divine absence. However, as Christians, we cannot ultimately accept this dualism between divine absence now and divine presence then in the future. That's not to deny this distinction between the two, for the presence of God will never be fully realized on earth. But we do not merely live within one of these realities, nor between them. Rather, we live simultaneously in tension within each of them. This simultaneity is familiar to Lutherans. We think of ourselves as simultaneously saints and sinners, at once condemned by the law and yet liberated by the gospel. And so, too, must we affirm that we live in a broken world in which God is often hidden, yet still present. Of course, we often deny one of the realities in which we live, whether it is the true brokenness of the world, or it is God's continued presence within the world. I suspect, though, that most of the time denying God's presence is the far greater temptation. We can experience God as absent in a variety of ways. To name just a few, we can experience it intellectually, for we can often make sense of both the world around us and our own lives just as well, if not better, without reference to God. Or sometimes we experience this affectively or relationally, when prayer and services at church seem vapid and isolating. And as the election draws near, the pervasiveness of dysfunction, chaos, and suffering in the world around us, and even in the church, seem to suggest that God is absent in the governance of the world. Regardless of the particular form of hiddenness most salient for us, many of us can empathize in some way with Job's lament. If I go forward, he is not there. Or backward, I cannot perceive him. On the left, he hides, and I cannot behold him. I turn to the right, but I cannot see him. I have no clear answers for how we must respond to God's hiddenness, but to suggest that one of the great challenges of faith is to trust that God is indeed present in the world. For the scriptural witness is ultimately not to God's abandonment of the world until the apocalypse, but to God's continued presence in and care for the world. God's covenants with Israel promise God's blessing and presence in this life. And perhaps most importantly, God became manifest and incarnate in the person of Jesus, who we call Emmanuel, God with us. We can, of course, read the narratives of the Hebrew Bible and the Gospels as stories of times far in the past and suggest that we have no evidence that God is still present and active in the world. To do so, however, is to ignore Pentecost. Jesus promises his disciples that even when he departed, God would send an advocate, the Holy Spirit, to remain with them. For the presence of God's grace and Spirit amidst a world in which sin and death seem to reign is at the heart of the gospel message. Often, faith involves trusting what we cannot see, trusting that God is present in the times and places when God seems absent. Yet God is not always entirely hidden. Faith must also involve seeing and hearing God's presence in the ways in which it is manifested, in the Word, in sacrament, in creation. We often call the good things in our lives blessings, whether it's family back home, friends here on the hill, the chance to sing and worship together on Sundays as we hear the gospel proclaimed and partake in the Eucharist, whether it's the opportunity to spend 4 years educating ourselves this fall in this beautiful orange and yellow-hued campus, and most of all, Thursday morning biscuits and gravy. But how often do we reflect on what we mean by this, that these blessings are outpourings of divine gift? These gifts are rarely unambiguously good, of course, and they're often fraught with imperfection. Our relationships fail to be what we would like them to be, and they sometimes come to an end all too quickly. We might struggle in our classes, and occasionally the calf doesn't have any biscuits and gravy. Nonetheless, that God's gifts in the world around us are transient and bound up in imperfection does not render them without value or importance. Rather, we must affirm the goodness of the created world as pervaded with God's creative power and as expressions of God's gifts. Perhaps then, this dualism in which we perceive the world here and now as characterized by divine absence isn't always strictly a theological mistake, so much as a way of perceiving and experiencing the world. Even if we assert that God is truly present here, we might not perceive the world around us as pervaded by divine presence, creative power, and gift in our day-to-day life. Faith can, and often does, consist of trusting in the unseen presence of the hidden God. But in addition, to be sustained and nourished in faith, we sometimes need to see and hear, albeit as in a mirror, dimly, God's presence. So as we go on our way today, let us pray that God will give us grace to fully acknowledge and live within the reality of both All Saints Sunday and Election Day, and that God will open our eyes and ears to God's presence here and now, no matter the outcome of tomorrow's election. And further, let us pray that our own sainthood be manifested now, that the church will be a way in which God's presence is revealed in the world, that we may live out the ELCA's mission, God's work, our hands. Let us pray that amidst our frequent blindness to God's presence in the world, that through our pilgrimage, filled with mists of doubts and fears, God will be present to illumine our way and empower us to illumine the way for others.
May our God of grace and love, hope and promise bless you this day and always. Amen.